expecting, Lord God. And not only there, but also right up here, Father. We thank you for Eddie, the word that you put in his heart, Lord. I know he's been chewing on this word for probably 3 or 4 weeks, Lord, and I know he's got a word from you. And we pray that you would bless him, that you would anoint him, that you would anoint our hearts to receive this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. I just want to welcome those that are online joining us. We welcome you this morning. And good morning to my brothers and sisters. And I know I've said this probably 1,000 times, well, maybe not quite 1,000, but every time I come up here, I say I am so excited to bring forth this word today because I know that I know that I know it's from God. He's been giving me little spiritual tidbits all week long, and he's used other people that I've read things about or I've talked to about, and it all coincides with the word that I'm going to share today. So it's like I got confirmation from the Holy Spirit, I got confirmation from God that this is from him. And the title of my story today is called Giving Glory to God for His Faithfulness. And I think a lot of times, I know myself included, we sometimes take that for granted, don't we? That God, I mean, we know He's God, right? He's the Almighty, He's the All-Powerful. All things are possible to God, even though they're impossible to us. But the thing is, I think sometimes, at least in my life, I can recollect that you kind of take that for granted, that He's always going to be there. He's never going to fail me, you know? But what an awesome thing that is, right? I remember a long time ago, and those of us that got a lot of years in this church will remember Apostle Kelly. You remember Apostle Kelly? I remember he taught a word one time, and it stuck in my mind, even to this day, that he said, like, the closest friend here on this earth is your husband or wife if you're married, right? And he said they would, for the most part, be willing to lay down their life for you. But don't put everything you have into them because you know why? They're going to fail you. As much as you love each other, as much as you spend your life together, you share things together, at one point or another, they're going to let you down. They might not do it intentionally, but they're going to let you down. And he said, there's only one person that will never let you down. And that's God. And that stuck with me to this day. And it's kind of sort of how I got this teaching. You know, I started, thinking and praying when Pastor John had asked me to speak. Because I go back to work tomorrow. Oh, Lord. Where's Don? Don, I thought I reached the glory land, brother. I thought I was retired. Well, thank you, Pastor. And I know there was a couple brothers out there that were like, man, that bum's still at home, clucking on fire. Why do you get to work like us? The glory of God. No, but I'm going to get into that, too. I got two good stories I got to share with you. And I got some scriptures, but these stories are the basis of my teaching because they're just so heartfelt. So I wanted to start off by saying I looked up the definition in the Webster's for faithful and found this. Steadfast in affection or allegiance. Loyal. I love that word, loyal. Firm in adherence to promises or in observance of duty. Conscientious. We need to be conscientious, amen. Given with strong assurance. Binding. I think of our marriage, right? It's binding in the eyes of the Lord. True to the facts, to a standard. And as I chewed on that definition, I thought, man, that's kind of powerful. The word faithful. And I wrote, God's faithfulness, church, helps us to build our trust in Him. It increases our confidence in Him, and it encourages us in our Christian walks to know that God is faithful. The faithfulness of God is true and has been proven many times. I don't have this on the board, but in Hebrews 6:18, it says that God cannot break an unconditional promise that He says He will fulfill, nor can He lie. See, there's that word binding. He's bound. When the Lord speaks it, it's going to happen. You know? And I think of that, I think I've shared the story once before. I was fairly new to the church. I was sitting right where Carol's sitting, about right there. And I heard this audible voice in my ear, just like I'm talking to you right now. And I'm like, look behind me, is somebody talking to me? Like, what was that? And then I heard it again. I'm like, what is going on? And then it dawned on me that the Lord was speaking to me. But right away, who comes knocking at the door? The devil. The devil's like, are you serious? You're going to get up and share that word? Like you're worthy enough for God to speak to you and give a word to his people? And like a dummy, I'm like, oh, I guess not. I think I swore last week one time. How could he use me? Right? And lo and behold, because of God's faithfulness for all of us, his people, right? Even though I got tricked, I swear to you that a woman sitting about right where Donna is, I'm trying to focus this, she stood up and said the exact same word. Do you know how I felt? But in a way, it helped me because I got angry, right? And I said, never again will I doubt that the Lord can use me. He can use anybody. You know, Pastor John's taught today, God used a donkey. He can use a donkey. He can use us. Right? I don't know where that came from. That wasn't in my notes, but... Therefore, every promise by God has or will come to pass. Testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness is found throughout the Bible. And I don't have time to go through all of them. I mean, there's hundreds of them. When I was looking up these notes, it was talking about Noah, right? How God promised them that they wouldn't die, build the ark. No. I mean, just countless. I was thinking of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? They would not deny their God. They said, even if you kill us, we're not going to deny God. And he was faithful to be in that fire with them. So much so that they didn't even come out smelling like smoke. I don't know if you've ever been by a Pastor John fire. You will definitely be smelling like smoke. I mean, satellites see his bonfires from the sky, man. Remember that men's thing? The Rangers came. They thought it was forest fire. It was Pastor John built. I mean, that flame was probably up to that camera. He goes, oh, that's a fire. The Rangers kept saying, guy, you got to calm that down a little bit, all right? I remember that, Pastor. He's a good fire builder. And he was a fireman of all things, right? But in fact, accounts of covenants between God and his people can be found approximately 277 times in the Bible. And the Lord led me to this scripture, Deuteronomy 7, 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. Man. 1,000 generations. I remember when I first found out a generation is 40 years. 1,000 generations? Way past our lifetime, right? Why? Because God is faithful. He is so faithful that anyone who seeks him can find him. Yes, thank you. It says in Ephesians 2:8 that faith is a gift from God. But even a gift must be open to be enjoyed. Well, I read that. Man, that hit me in the heart. Can you imagine that? It's like God gave us a gift, but if we don't open it and use it, what good is it? You know? Pastor Don has always preached that to me. What good is it to know the Bible forward and backwards if you don't use it for anything? You got all that knowledge and you don't use it. But God gives us that gift of faith, and if we don't step out in it, then how are we going to show others that God is real? Ooh, think about that one. We need to implement that gift of faith. We need to apply it. Even when in our mind where it seems like it's impossible. But all things are possible to God. All things. God is not limited. He's limitless. Amen. And as we use it, we'll begin to realize more and more about God's faithfulness to us. He gives us that faith, but He's faithful to us. Ooh, I'm starting to get goosebumps. Come on. All right, I want to share a couple of short stories with you about God's faithfulness and how He reminded me that He is in control and He is just and caring for all of us. But I'm going to have to start off with a sad story. And I kind of know the story by heart, so I'll walk off the stage here. I promised everybody I'd walk off the stage. What that means, I don't know, but the man's name is Matthew McCoy. Okay? We, meaning me and some other of my friends, refer to him as Matt. He was my superintendent, my former superintendent at General Motors. The young guy, he came in and replaced our old superintendent. He was 38 years old, 6'8", 280 pounds. And I mean, he wasn't fat either, dude. This dude was a Hulk. Like Fred. Destruction, baby. Marty. Oh, he was a big dude. Nice guy. I found out he went to Ferris State University, played football, got his degree. He was so good in football, he was a tight end. They moved him to offensive lineman. In his sophomore year, he became one of the captains of the team. He graduated, and ironically, I didn't know this, but he was an undrafted free agent, but he got drafted by the Lions back in 2004. I didn't know that. And he wound up marrying his college sweetheart. He married her. And they had just had twins, a boy and a girl. I thought, oh, man, double the trouble. I remember telling him that. Double the trouble, buddy. He goes, yeah, like if you guys ain't bad enough, now I got to go hold of them. Because we used to give him a little hard time here and there. But with all the COVID going on, right, they closed our plant, you know. My man Fred's there trying to get me back to work. Go, brother. But they sent all the management people to work at home. You know that, Luce, right? They sent them home to do their work. So he was in his basement doing his work on his computer. And his wife went to the store with the twins. Now, sadly, when she came home and she was gone about an hour, she found him deceased on the floor in the basement. I know, I was just like, totally shocked. What? That guy was like huge, man. The guy was big. He was in shape. I mean, it seemed like he had life by the horns, right? I mean, they made good money being a superintendent at General Motors, you know? And it's like, man, I was telling Donna, man, God, I just can't believe it. So I don't know why, but for days, he was on my heart. And, you know, beside the fact that he had passed away, which was sad, and I was feeling for his wife and those two little babies, I asked the Lord, Lord, why can't I let this go? And I know this is crazy, but the Lord's, I think he has a sense of humor, but I was sitting there peeling potatoes over the garbage can. And I was thinking about, man, I'm thinking, oh, man, I know that's sad, but man, Lord, why do you keep reminding me? And this is what he told me. He said, the Lord brought to my attention that even though Matt was younger than me and seemingly in great shape and seemed to have life by the horn, so to speak, his time was finished. And you know, I'm sitting there peeling potatoes and you know how you just think back and I'm thinking, here I am peeling potatoes. My life going on. Poor Matt, who barely got to experience life. You know, he's already gone, and hopefully he's with the Lord. I mean, I saw in his obituary that he did attend a church, so I'm praying that he had salvation and went to meet the Lord, but he's gone and I'm still going, you know? And I thought to myself, you know, even though I'm older, I'm not 100% healthy. The Lord was going to be faithful to me and allow me to finish the race he put me in. That's what he told me. You're not done yet. I was like, wow. I mean, I was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit to know that my Father was that faithful. That he's not done with me. I'm not going anywhere. I know I'm going to Flint. but I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. It's like, Dad, can't you take me home, man? I don't want to make that long drive. But the Holy Spirit led me to this scripture. This was the Holy Spirit. Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I was like, oh, Father, now I understand. Now I get it. I mean, I didn't know Matt personally, right? Just at work, here and there, he'd stop by and talk to us and what have you, meetings. But I don't know what the Lord had intended for him, right? That was his calling. That was his life. That was his race. The Lord told me he was done. But he wasn't done with me yet. You know, and I'm like, wow, that is awesome. You know, that he gave me that clarity, that he explained himself to me, which I thought was awesome because he doesn't have to explain anything to me. He's the boss. But I just thought that was so cool that, you know, sometimes, and I know my wife, I was listening to her talk to somebody on the phone yesterday, and she was saying, you know, sometimes this disease gets to be so much that I get tired. I feel like calling it quits, you know. But then she said herself that she had to repent to the Lord, you know, because that's not what he has for her. She's not done yet. You know? Quit crying. You're going to make me cry. So my next story was brought on by, I believe, the Holy Spirit using Taylor. Well, I was hoping Taylor was going to be here. She had just recently wrote on Facebook something that really ministered to my heart, and it seemed to tie in with this message today. I was scrolling through Facebook, and I saw her picture, and the title above what she wrote said, "You can't fulfill your calling if you're in your comfort zone." I thought, wow. Another like, phew. The Lord just, wow. Taylor wrote, and I asked her if I could speak on this. You know, she goes, oh, yeah, you can use anything. I go, oh, I can have you come up and say it yourself? She goes, no! But you go ahead and raise and share what I said. She's funny. Taylor wrote that for her, it was easy to encourage others to try new things and to follow their hearts and to go after those new things in life. But when it came to herself, she kind of just stayed in what she knew and was comfortable with. She said it was easier that way. Well, of course it's going to be easier, right, if you're comfortable in what you're doing. I think for most of us, we have chosen that so-called comfort zone a few times. Amen? I know I have. Look, there's nothing wrong with taking a little break, you know, to get a little rest, maybe a little healing, and maybe to look back and examine what God just took us through. But knowing in the end it was going to be for the better for us, right? Always for the better for us. But it's when we begin to use those comfort zones to avoid, there's that big word, avoid life. Avoid responsibilities and avoid the work set out for us by God Himself that our comfort zones begin to hinder us spiritually. Right? If we can't, there's that faith again. If you can't step out, how's God going to use you? I wouldn't step out there to give that word. You know what I mean? That He gave me. You know, like, who am I? But He gave it to me. To share with the church. But I was in that comfort zone I got a little fearful and I wouldn't share it. But that's not going to stop the will of God. He did that so it would build my faith, so it would build my confidence. See, he was trying to build me up, taking me through what I felt was a little trial, but for him was just glory. Hey, share my word with the people. Tell them this. Tell them I said this. But eventually, brothers and sisters, when we rely on our comfort zones, it gets harder and more difficult to step out of them. We'll get stuck in a rut. We will. And that takes me back to the missions. Carol, I repent again. They were begging me to go on those Mexico mission trips, man, but I was scared, dude. I was scared. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I might go to the border. I might not get back. I don't look like a typical American, all right? Yeah, sure, buddy. Get back in the end of the line. You ain't going nowhere. You know? I was scared. Seriously, I'm being honest. I'm like, I ain't going over there, man. I might not get back. You know? But I allowed that fear to withhold what God... And then when I finally get to the things to go, I found out I didn't have no time off. I argued with my committee man for hours. He's like, Ed, I can't explain it any other way. I said, no, I got to have a week left. I got to go on this trip. I already paid $100 for a t-shirt. But I never got back. And I think Donna got paint all over it. It's a rag now. I went to Carol, can I get my 100 back? Nope. Non-refundable, buddy. But I went to the Spanish class and everything. And I really wanted to go. I wanted to defeat this fear. But hey, that door for me, according to the Lord, was closed, you know. Hey. We can find ourselves becoming more content or even fearful to step out of them, like I was. But the Lord gave me 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. See, if I'd have carried that out, I could have disciplined myself to know that fear is not of God. But I allowed it to control me. So leading into this second story, I want to share with you on God's faithfulness in my life, personally. Most of you know that GM has closed my plant for retooling. Fred's there trying to fix it up so I can get back home. And they had to reassign all of us to different plants while that one's closed. So, man, that's been nothing but a roller coaster ride. For those of you that are on the prayer team, you know my name's been on there almost every day. At first, they wanted to send me to Lansing. And I remember complaining to the pastors, man, I'm Lansing, man, that's an hour and a half. It's 100 miles. I don't want to go that far. So they're all praying. They're actually praying that I go to Ray's plant, Romulus, which is only like 12 miles from my house. But all of a sudden, it got canceled. I'm like, yes! God is faithful! Amen! Next thing I know, I get a letter, I'm going to Wentzville, Missouri. I'm like, what? What happened, man? Did I sin? Am I wearing the wrong color socks? What's going on? What did I do wrong? I went from, and Pastor Don's like, well, now Lansing don't look too bad now, does it? I'm like, amen, brother. I go to Lansing, bump, Wentzville, Missouri. But we were taking it in stride. We were trying to have that faith. It was a little shaky. But I'm like, you know, and Nick, my son, he's like, well, Dad, never know. God might have someone down there that you need to minister. Who's this guy talking? Oh, all of a sudden you're a philosopher now? But when I thought about it, he's right, right? I don't know what God's will was for me to go to Wentzville, Missouri. But my wife and I were getting ready to go. Brother Ray was going to take some vacation time and help me move down there. And then the church is like, nope, we're still praying. I remember Sharon talking to Donna, tell Eddie we're still praying. Wentzville canceled. Hallelujah! Praise God! He's faithful. I can see the doors opening. I'm going to Romulus. Ray, here I come. I was all pumped up. another bullet dodged. Whew. Felt like the Matrix, you know. Dodging all these plants. Well, then, lo and behold, the Lord opened up a door, and I know it was God because I'm not going to mention any names because they're on the internet, but people aren't supposed to do these things. But this man that was high up, he calls me. I'm telling him about my wife. You know, we got to be somewhere close. You know, she's got MS. I got to come home, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of gave me a hint. You might want to put in for all the Michigan plants because next stop for you guys is Fort Wayne, Indiana. I said, well, what should I put in for? He goes, anywhere you'd be willing to drive to. So I'm sitting there on the Google, how far is this? How far is this? How far is this? How far is this? So he actually put it in for me, which he's not supposed to do. He says, normally I need written authorization, but if you tell me over the phone right now, yeah, this is me and I want you to change my thing, I'll do it. Okay. So he actually did it for me. That don't happen. So I got Flint engine. That's what I got. It came up. I got it on July 27th, and I just thought, I better take this. It's still in Michigan. I know it's an hour away, but at least I'm home. I'm in the state. I definitely don't want to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Unfortunately, my partner, she wound up getting Fort Wayne, Indiana. She just moved down there. She just up and moved. And I ain't coming back. But anyways, a couple of these prayer warriors here are saying, I'm not giving up. I'm telling you, Romulus is still an opportunity. Well, then the Lord spoke to me. And this is what he told me. I said, the Lord just recently showed me that this would have been me inside my comfort zone. I was shocked at first. I was thinking, what, Lord? Are you sure? Here I am questioning God again. Then he reminded me, this plant is very close to home. Yeah? I would know a lot of the workers there because a few of them transferred there before. There's a few people from my plant where I'm at now that originally transferred there. Ray's ran into a few of them. And so he said, it's not like I would be a complete stranger there. Like, no difference, you know what I mean? It's like going from Dehan to Romulus is like really no difference, only the work's a little easier. Remember that, brother. What I got from God was Flint Engine, because I know that was him that opened that door. It's an hour drive, at least. I might know maybe two people in that whole plant. So it's like I'm going to be a nobody there, a stranger. Well, in their eyes I will be, but I will definitely be out of my comfort zone going to that plant. It's a new plant. I don't know nobody there. It's a long drive. You know, I told Pastor John, well, at least I'll get some God time because I ain't got nobody else to talk to but God in that long drive. And then the Lord told me to look up this scripture. It's Isaiah 41:10. He told me, read Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I was like, thank you. That's what I said, Alex. I said, thank you, Lord, to know that you're... And right, don't we just know that God's with us, but we like to hear it? His word telling me, I'm going to be with you. Don't worry. Like reassuring. And I wrote here, we can't become negative in our hearts or our actions when it seems that certain things don't go our way or it doesn't seem that the Lord met our heart's desires. Because I'll admit it, yeah, I wanted to go to Romulus. Who wouldn't? It's right there. But that wasn't part of God's plan. Whatever, or in my case, wherever, the Lord leads us in His ultimate plans for us, they're in His ultimate plans for us in His kingdom, wherever He takes us. There for a reason. It's not by chance. Now this leads me to one of my favorite characters in the Bible, David. I always got to speak about David. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king of Israel, was he not? He believed in God's promise and grew to know that God was faithful. And I believe that is why David was so confident that he wouldn't be killed by a lion. Right? He killed a lion. He killed a bear. He killed a giant named Goliath. You know, and it says in that book that he ran to meet Goliath. He didn't walk timidly there. He ran after Goliath. Or by all the alien nations he would face in battle. And not by Saul himself, who was the king of Israel at the time. David had no fear that these guys were going to kill him. Why? Because God is faithful. He made a promise to David that he was going to be the next king of Israel. So what kind of faith did David have that he would fight a lion, fight a bear, fight Goliath when none of God's army would? And not be fearful that he went down and stole Saul's sword while he was sleeping in the camp, knowing that God was going to protect him. Because he cannot go back on a promise. He doesn't lie. God was showing him in turn, building David's own faith, knowing that his Lord was faithful. He built David's faith by those trials. And I got to believe the same thing going out to Flint. Do I want to drive an hour? No, I don't. Do I want to go to a new plant? Not really. Even though, Ray, I'm hoping the work is easy. But it's God's plan. And I know it's just for a while because when they finish our plant, we're coming back. So I just look at it as a journey or mission that God's got me on. Again, the Holy Spirit showed me this, Jeremiah 29:11. I know we know this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I just have to assume that this is, not assume, a no, that this is God's calling for my life. It's just another chapter in the story. When we don't receive what we are asking for, but get something else, it is not that God has turned his back on us. It just might not be in his timing for our lives. He also gave me Numbers 23:19. That reassurance we're talking about. God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? That's our God. Amen. This was just amazing. So, just in closing, could I have the prayer team come up? God is faithful, church. I am sure and confident that if time were permitting, I could go around the entire church and each and every brother and sister here could at least share one instance where God was faithful in their lives. But I know it could be many. In closing, I just want to thank those that have joined us online. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this helps you. I know it's helped me. Please take heart this scripture and memorize it for all aspects of your life, good or not so good. But remember, our God is always faithful. Give him glory for it. Amen. And that's Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen? Amen. God is faithful. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. I would encourage you to come up for prayer. If you've had maybe some prayers that haven't been answered, don't be discouraged. Just know that God is faithful to deliver. Amen? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, Lord God, we just thank you for this word that you've given us this morning, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that your faithfulness will continue to shine in our lives, Lord. Father, I pray that we would share the new testimonies of your faithfulness with each and every one that we come in contact with. Father, that we would give you the glory for it, Lord God, and you would bless your people, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to speak. Lord, let it touch ears, Father. Let it heal hearts and minds, Father God, with your glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.